are, I mean, there's no place in the streets for them to go. I mean, it's kind of like they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And, you know, something needs to be done. And it's not civil what's going on, and it's not right. And sometimes it takes a larger population of people than just the people who are getting hurt against to take a stand. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
Wow. Yeah, and I'm really glad you are doing something about it, Robin. I hope that folks out there can give a call. If you want to talk about this issue on the air, of course, give a call to 427-3772. That's Free Radio Santa Cruz. Now we're going to play a bit of the press conference that you and David Silva and others appeared at. The initial part of this interview is a little hard to hear. Well, you can hear it, actually. It's a little annoying because of the background construction, but bear with us.
To let the public know that there are some 44 people that are on this rolling fast to end the sleeping ban or decriminalize sleep. We're doing this to change the hearts of the Santa Cruz City Council. Every organization in town has now come out for decriminalization of sleep, except for perhaps the police department. So we figure the city council must have a gun to their heads, and they need a little pressure, they need a little persuasion. So we have a rolling fast, a progressive fast, and a full fast going on. People are fasting, and some of us are going to fast to the death if we have to.
So on an emotional level, go ahead and drop your chin a little bit. Tell me a little bit about how you guys feel about the sleeping ban and why you're doing this.
The sleeping ban really is an institutional hate crime that's written into our laws. There's no way that it can't be about homeless people. When homeless people have no roof over their head at night, and when it's against the law to sleep or to cover up your child with a blanket from 11 p.m. to 8:30 a.m., you're just basically criminalizing all homeless people, and that's an institutional hate crime. It has to be abolished.
Tell me about this woman that I just videotaped.
Roxana Keys Depache has gone on to the full fast immediately, starting January 12th. She has not had any meal since that time, and she's going to go on full fast for the end, too.
Great. Howdy, Your Honor. How you doing?
So, Chip just did this interview with David Silva.
Oh, I don't think I gave you that part. I didn't give you that part of it. That's another part of it.
Okay, great.
So how can I participate? Yeah.
Great.
Thanks.
All right, I'm just going to shoot you guys talking away.
Don't shoot.
I have another one? I just totally mangled this.
This one, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, since I'm real lucky, I don't have to...
Hi. He had food all day Friday. He went without food and sleep.
Holy cow!
But he's been homeless in the past, so he knows what it's like.
So what's cooking, Ray?
Not much right now.
Yeah, don't look at me. Just pretend I'm not here. Talk.
So, Roxanne, how are you feeling after what? 14 days of fasting?
I always 15. Feel good in the morning. It's the afternoons that are really hard. I always wake up really refreshed and feeling very good, but then I get really tired, and, you know, when I have to be at work and...
Or wait at city council forever.
I couldn't believe that last night, you know, that we waited so long.
I know, I was getting pretty weak myself, and I'm just fasting.
You're drinking the proper liquids and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
I'm 53 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a kid. I've got a last kid to take care of, so... I can't bite the dust yet.
Let me stick this in your face for just a second. Do me a favor, look in your left eye.
Look in
my... Oh, sorry, my left eye. It's kind of hard to...
Okay, I've never done that before.
I am inward looking ahead of myself. Actually, you have. But you need a mirror to do it. But anyhow, look into my left eye and tell me, in a real loud voice, what you're doing and why.
Well, I'm on a complete...
Oh, I'm sorry. Boy, I'm just spun.
Turn on that camera.
Got to plug my mic in or it doesn't do anything.
You need lunch.
Oh, I need lunch.
I need
breakfast.
Tapes.
One thing I don't need is more coffee. Okay, so at any rate, tell me what you're doing and why you're doing it.
I've been on a full fast since the 12th, and that's 15 days now. And I'm doing it to try and get our city council to move in a compassionate fashion and immediately on behalf of the homeless. I was active last winter, and nothing has changed. This is the second winter since we have really been actively, you know, there's a lot of people that have been active a lot longer than I have, and nothing's changed. And I'm tired of people having to sleep in the rain and sleep in terrible weather. There, we need to open a public building. We need immediate relief for them. Lift the camping ban, lift the sleeping ban, stop criminalizing people who have nothing. And no matter how long I fast...
Oh, we're going to turn this up a little bit. Okay, go ahead and say.
And no matter how long I fast, I know there's an end to it. It doesn't, you know, if I sleep without a blanket, there is a blanket at the foot of my bed. If I fast, I can stop fasting anytime and I have food. So no matter how hard I try and duplicate the hardships of people who are going through this. The truth is that mine is voluntary, and I can never duplicate that. And I know that because I was homeless at one time in my life when I was much younger. So.
Great. In two sentences, last question. I'm just going to get you to repeat what you said before. On an emotional level, how do you feel about the sleeping ban and why? Two sentences.
I feel the sleeping ban just doesn't work. It just makes homeless people criminals. And it doesn't matter if you lower the fine to $54. If you have $0, the warrant comes out for your arrest nevertheless. So it's really not a solution, never has been. Rich people camp here in their Winnebagos all the time on the cliffs above West Cliff and are never accosted. You know, they come and they spend the night here. They don't want to pay for a motel. And, you know, it's discrimination.
Go ahead and tell me your name and spell it for me, and that's it.
My name is Roxanne Acquistapace, Acquistapace.
Great. And it'd be proper to classify you as an activist?
I think at this point, yeah.
Yeah, okay, great.
Can't avoid it.
Great. Okay, thanks a lot.
I used to say, I'm just me, but...
You spoke your name wrong in this.
Oh, that's...
And that was Roxana Kistapachi, and earlier David Silva, through all the noise, and of course various other folks in the rough footage, admittedly, that we put together from the press conference on Wednesday in front of Santa Cruz City Hall. I got a call while the tape was playing from David Silva, and I think he's about to call us back.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, this is David Silva.
Hi, David.
Hi, I can't quite hear your show completely because I'm going back and forth from room to room. But I understand you just played the tape from the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. That's good. A little hard to understand.
Yeah, my apologies for that.
Yeah. So just let people know out there that they can join the Rolling Fast at any time. You know, we have more and more people calling. And for this particular purpose only, 429-5284, they can call me and sign up for the Rolling Fast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't usually like to give my number out, but for this purpose I will.
Mm-hmm.
I still have a few days open in February, and then we'll start doubling up people. On days.
Now, maybe you can, I guess, by the Rolling Fast, you mean that each person takes one day, then
yeah,
another person takes another day, and
yeah,
so
yeah, that's
forth.
To support the people that are on the Progressive Fast and the Complete Fast.
And the Progressive Fast is, of course...
No suppers in January, no suppers and lunches in February, and then go be prepared for Full Fast March 1st.
And, of course, already on the Full Fast is Roxana Kistapache.
Yeah, and okay. we have other people coming on Full Fast in February, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, And this, another thing that if some people, of course, cannot fast, even though we have like four people on chemo who are going to fast on Saturdays, and there's two people on HIV meds that are jeopardizing the HIV meds that are fasting on Progressive Fast, there's some people that just can absolutely not fast, either from food or sleep. If they want to support the Rolling Fast, they can do the same thing. Call me, 429-5284, and make a donation to CAB for motel vouchers. Get a homeless person out of the elements into a motel for at least one night. That would be a good way to support the Rolling Fast if you can't do the fast yourself. You know, sacrifice a little money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing we're expanding the Rolling Fast to.
I guess you're also doing the new sleeping ban repeal, safe zones and decriminalization of sleep initiative.
Yeah, the safe zone decriminalization of sleep initiative is done. I finally figured out how to make those signature boxes on my computer. So they look nice, and I'll get that approved by the city clerk Monday morning, and then we publish Tuesday, and those petitions will hit the streets Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a press conference Wednesday in front of City Hall at noon, lunch hour, so anybody interested in getting petitions, we'll be handing them out there.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Any questions about what this all means?
What does it all mean, David?
Huh? Well, it all means that this bad, bad law that was written maybe by some good people a long time ago that has been perverted, and they should have known by the way it was written that, you know, sleeping is camping it was a real bad mistake to have made, that has been perverted from one administration to the other, and we could have a future police chief that could pervert it even worse. So we need to get it off our books as soon as possible. And that's basically what it's about. It's about taking the institutional hate crime off the book.
Hear, hear. Well,
okay, Robert.
Thank you, David.
And if anybody wants to send donations to the campaign, we're trying to have homeless people paid for collecting signatures.
Mm-hmm.
They can send it to the campaign to end the sleeping band, Post Office Box 1735. That's Santa Cruz, California, 95060-1735. And I would appreciate it if you could repeat that a couple times during the show, Robert.
I'll try and do that, Dave.
Yeah.
And if I don't, call back.
I will.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you.
Good luck.
And that was David Silva, new campaign to set up safe sleeping zones and decriminalize sleeping, although I may have the name a little bit wrong. You got the gist of it. Do give a call to him if you want to join the fast only at 429-5284. If you have questions or want to help in some other way, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. David is himself taking medications. He's HIV positive, has AIDS, and is fighting with that whole struggle. It makes it even doubly difficult for him to do the fast and others, as he said, who are on the fast. So it's a real crisis here. Some people may suffer and die because of this, because of their determination. I'm not encouraging anyone to do that. I think that is not a good idea to do. But people's consciences take their own directions. And Robin, any thoughts that you have at this point?
I just thought of something, actually. There's kind of a proactive meeting that gets together on Thursday nights, every Thursday, at the Junction, which is the student center, the pizza place there in the University of California, Santa Cruz. And they have a lot of political speakers and activists. There's hip-hop poetry, and I hopefully will be able to put together a pamphlet or something of that nature to hand out to anybody who's interested in joining the Rolling Fast or who just wants more information on the subject this coming Thursday.
What time is it?
The Junction is open between 10 and 2 in the morning, I believe, and I'll probably be handing them out.
10 p.m. Thursday night to 2 a.m. Friday morning?
Yes, that's correct. And I'll probably be handing them out around 12 or so, give a little talk about it there, if you're interested.
A midnight activity?
Yes, a midnight activity, yes.
Wow. So for all you vampire role players, hustle on down to the... and this is on campus, UCSC campus at the...
At the student center, the UCSC student center. They call it the Junction.
And give your number, Robin. If folks can't get there at midnight, some folks have different schedules, how they can reach you in case they need to get copies of the petition or literature on the issue of the Rolling Fast. I guess you will also have probably petitions for once David gets them, he'll be passing them on to you.
Yes, I hope so. That would be his plan.
Your number again is?
502-9308. And once again, I encourage you to come down. There's really good vibes there, even just to find out about other events that are happening in the community and to support local hip-hop and poetry.
And also, I'm going to be repeating this at other times during the broadcast, tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Homeless Resources Center, we are going to be showing video of the San Jose arrests, where I and 14 others were arrested on Wednesday for waiting for the mayor to come and give some answers to some hard questions. He chose not to appear, we chose to remain, and the police chose to arrest us. That was... on Wednesday and tomorrow at 11 o'clock, you can see video, some pretty eloquent statements from Scott Wagers, Community Homeless Alliance Ministry, who were all arrested over there in San Jose, and plan to do a similar civil disobedient activity a week from Tuesday, that is to say, Tuesday, February 8th, at their city council meeting over there, demanding that they take action or face people willing to sit down and say, "We're not moving until you do." Here's an incoming call.
You're on free radio.
Well, hello there, Robert. How are you today?
Good. Hey, it sounds like Skidmark Bob.
That's me. Hey, I have a quick public service announcement. It's not on the subject, but I thought I'd throw it out there.
Sure.
PAM Africa from the MOVE organization, which was bombed by the U.S. government back in
1982 or 83.
In the 70s, will be at Kresge Town Hall tonight at 8 p.m.
And she's also going to be on the air, I believe, between 3 and 6 on Free Radio
Santa
Cruz on George's show.
Cut Your Hair and Get a Fucking Job show with Old Lady Scar Arms and Baby Greaser Jim.
Hey, man.
So if people can't tune in, head on down to Kresge Hall. There'll be other influential speakers as well.
That's actually not really off the subject because we're going to ask PAM Africa to endorse the Rolling Fast and also the campaign to not just to end the sleeping ban. We're actually looking to get her to go further and demand the repeal of the entire camping ordinance. So.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to be looking for that, too.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
And I want to thank your guest for doing what she's doing, and hopefully we'll finally put this sleeping ban to death. I know I've struggled with it for quite a few years myself.
I hear you.
Gotten tickets as well and, you know, been through demonstrations, and they seem to stand firm with it for some reason.
it's amazing.
Economic interest, maybe?
Well, it's like the color bar. You know, they stood firm for that for years. Blacks were not the equal of whites under the law,
mm-hmm.
in spite of the Constitution, which the 14th Amendment and the 15th Amendment and the 13th Amendment all guaranteed that. But the courts all colluded with authorities and private bigots to make it so that, you know, blacks were second-class citizens, as they still are, of course, but it was much more blatant before the protests of the 60s.
Now it's all about economics, so there is no, well, there's still color lines, but it's more so economic lines now.
That's true, too.
If you don't look a certain way, then you obviously, you know, people look down on you. I mean, just look at Robert Steffen and what's happened to him outside of Bunny Shoes.
You're talking about the umbrella man on Pacific Avenue, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's just sitting there minding his own business and got attacked by these people at Bunny Shoes. Absurd.
Well, during the Christmas season, they prefer to have him move right along.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. 'Tis the season to be jolly.
'Tis the season to be wealthy.
Well, I'll let you get on with your program.
All right.
Just want to put that out there again, Pam Africa, tonight, 8 p.m. at Kresge Town Hall, and also on Free Radio at 3 o'clock.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
And did you have something you wanted to say?
Kresge's my home place. That's where I live, and I'm going to be seeing Pam Africa tonight. Should be great. I encourage anybody who has the resources to go down there, or the will to go down there and the want to attend that. It should just be fabulous.
I think there's some sort of sliding fee. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I suspect if you're really poor, I can't say this for sure, but I think you'll be able to get in. But again, might be worth trying anyway. Robin, I'm going to thank you. You're welcome to hang with us and be a guest and be even a volunteer host, because I think another voice is always useful if we get callers and commentary and discussion develops. I'm going to kind of roll on to the next segment, but please hang with us if you'd like.
Thank you.
If you get bored, you can always move on, whatever feels good. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Bathrob's Peer Robert Norris. This is Bathrob's Peer's Broadsides. Your Civil Rights on the Street show call-in number, if you want to reach us, and lines are open, 427-3772. I'm going to try to roll ahead because I tend to get behind on these shows. One quick kind of update. We've talked about the sleeping ban. The latest real media coverage of the whole thing came last week when Daryl Cole put an article on the front page below the fold about Chamber of Commerce CEO Michael Schmidt endorsing safe sleeping zones himself, and the city's Chamber of Commerce, in essence, bringing that to them to lobby them. I've talked about this a little bit on Thursday and pointed out my disappointment that the Chamber of Commerce had not been willing to just go forward with the three specific sleeping zones suggested by Mike Schmidt, namely the county building parking lot, the police department parking lot, and the upper levels of parking lot number 10 downtown. And I'm also kind of disheartened that Peter Eberle and the Downtown Association have not yet signed on board to this. In fact, Eberle was the only dissenting vote at the Homeless Issues Task Force when the Homeless Issues Task Force voted on last Monday, to stand right behind Mike Schmidt and support his proposal if he was able to get it passed his executive subcommittee the next day. He got it passed the subcommittee, but only with a long delay. That is to say, the executive committee demanded that he take it to other organizations first and have them kind of sign on board. And so in my mind, I kind of call this stalled in the water, but maybe it's just I'm very impatient about seeing something done. We have people dying out there. I met a woman on the street yesterday, an older woman who is 61, I believe. She was not allowed in the armory program because of a personality dispute with a man who's a manager on the program. She gave me a whole kind of very articulate complaint, which I'm going to pass on to Ken Cole, the Homeless Services Center, but it's not going to do her any good on the weekends. She's going to be outside in the storms. And so I laid a few bucks on her and said, you know, head for Denny's or something if you can. But, you know, there are, as I said, 700 to 1,500 homeless people, and of those, only at a maximum of 140 or 150 will have any guaranteed emergency shelter. That's 100 at the armory and 40 or so, maybe it's 60 now, on the church groups. So it's a fraction. And the rest of the people who try to find shelter themselves face discrimination, face possible thug violence, as we've talked about, face $54 tickets, or they face, you know, drenching, health-threatening rains. I mean, these are realities. And there are realities that the city council, the new wonderful city council, is continuing to ignore. And unfortunately, the Homeless Issues Task Force that had brought these things forward kind of stopped at that point. And when some of the activists among us urged them to go further forward and issue press releases and engage in high-level real dialogue with the city council instead of being yes men, oh yes sir, oh yes sir, we'll go back and do what you want, when that, what they want, of course, is simply to do nothing, but to make like they're doing something, the Homeless Issues Task Force kind of blinked and has gone sort of downhill on this issue, and I'm really sorry about that. But again, I've always expected that there was a point at which they would, you know, lose their nerve or feel it wasn't their role to proceed. And in a way, it's sad because a lot of activists are on this body, and why they are lending themselves to this, it's really kind of sad that they don't realize now in this moment of maximum publicity they have a real chance of taking some action.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hello, Bathrobes, Pierre Robert Norris.
Speak of the devil.
Yeah, it sounded like you were trying to turn me into a devil there.
The head of the Homeless Issues Task Force herself.
Sometimes.
How are you?
I was doing fine till that last two sentences of yours.
Well, good. Well, listen, kick my butt. Tell me why, where I'm wrong. We're talking, of course, to Linda LeMaster. You're not only a Homeless Issues Task Force head, but you're a person.
I have a human head, too.
You have a human head and a human heart, and you're about
Thank
to be
you.
Homeless yourself. And so what am I doing criticizing you?
I don't care what you're doing criticizing me. Just if you're aiming for the target, shoot the bullseye.
Whoever's in the way gets hit, I'm afraid.
I wanted rather, because you were also talking about people dying in the streets, to
yeah.
share my thoughts, which I've pre-written and would like permission to read on there. Mm-hmm. I put a title on it. It's a line out of a Dylan song.
Okay.
I bargained for salvation, and they gave me a lethal dose. And the rest of this is kind of a personal rant. It's certainly not a, a Homeless Issues Task Force hat.
So I want to say you're also an activist who's been around here for more than two decades, who's been arrested in protests, who's run for city council, who has formed a chapter of Housing Now in Santa Cruz, and Bag Ladies Revolt. You were part of that group. So you're...
And Hungry Women United, who rolled back the governor's intended raise when Pete Wilson was in there, led by Jane Himmler.
Mm-hmm.
And I fasted with her second fast to help liberate the River Street shelter.
Maybe before you go, after you've done this personal statement, you can also give us some history of how that fast went. Let Robin in on the kind of the media political dimensions of that fast, how it happened, how it succeeded or didn't succeed, and so forth. But go ahead with what you've got to say.
Thank you. As you've probably said on your show, and I know have heard, there's been like 20 people killed and more than that battered and beaten for being outside the invisible wire fence of established social order. So this is about two of the people who have died, and mostly about one of them that I heard about through the grapevine. Now they're telling me Long John is dead, found under the spanky new Soquel Avenue bridge. I haven't yet been able to accept my grief since last month they told me young Eddie Hicks was dead and his shipmates or cohorts had abandoned their circle with him when he passed on, left him alone along the railroad right away. Hicks used to play with and help look after my nearly grown son when the latter was first starting school. I'll always be grateful for his influence. Many memories together under the sky. My heart goes to his parents. Long John, too, was a guiding star for the same amazing youngster, the Dion, whom you know. Long John shared his hippie archives and consummate memories of the 60s with young and old, including my two sons. He was one of the few men I've ever met who could adore this planet like a mother out loud. He was one hell of a cowboy, too. He had the guts to hang a 6-foot-tall peace sign on the central common outhouse wall up on the mountain ridge one hot summer when everyone else was high, noon, gun-toting, diarrhea, flu, broken glass, grumpy, moody bullshit. I think his bus was the most magical trip in the whole hippie arcana from Georgetown to the height. I was blessed to visit his rolling home. Tons of people probably knew him mostly from the flea market. Remember his home driving by wearing that bamboo coolie hat a few years back? One of my most vivid memories is of that night in hell when Long John and my main lover man had to put out a psychotic arsonist's Indian summer forest fire. with just four arms, two buckets, and a bathtub tap. I wasn't even there. I merely witnessed the tears on the scorched evergreen tree whom the two men saved when I came there the next morning. Yet it is as vivid in my mind as if I'd been there. And I'm not stoned, listeners, maybe a little nuts. They were heroes in an impossible situation, both thinking with their hearts and hearing their instincts. So I can't accept this death concept. How could Long John be dead? This is someone I knew as very much alive and courageous as it can get, and how could he really be dead, really ever not be? He was one of those rare, full-time hippies who never sold out. I was walking home yesterday, and it was raining. I had my raincoat, but I was too soggy and exhausted from pain to put it on. I had already spilled coffee on the new pages of my Millennium appointment book that morning. One block more to drag myself. From the bus to my door, a block where Long John visits and used to park. In my bitter mind, remembering the last time I'd checked there, I thought, imagine never again seeing a flower chain of colored chalk peace signs along this sidewalk I'd been taken for granted. And I became self-pity. So certain I was in my despair, I assumed before I got there they'd have all been washed away in the gloomy rain like John's life. I refused to look on those blocks, walking into the street, avoiding my feelings of loss. And then Long John's spear hit me like a pop-up video in the shape of a perfect peace symbol, the exact same size as those ones I'd seen and believed mournfully were missing from the sidewalks. Drawn with a stick into the patch of new street concrete, despite itself, the city of Santa Cruz had provided a more enduring palette for John. I think we need to stop berating, neglecting, and attacking our men and youth and boys. It's getting them killed. Eddie Hicks never even had a chance to live what U.S. Americans think of as a normal life. Shouldn't somebody be sticking up for our guys? From my experience, way too many who are homeless or who are outdoor people are going down, or the ones who live in their cars and vans, or who in any way walk with a different drummer, and are pacifists and sages. We don't get to meet conscious pacifists very often. And here Long John is dead. I can't get this to be real. Major denial. Long live the world we all dreamed about and the world Long John was creating. I wish we could bring our spiritual leaders and healers out into the woods and along the tracks and under the bridges and bring our best witnesses into the jails and nut houses and these newer case-managed institutions and create sanctuaries in every neighborhood. We're behaving like crowded lab rats, eating our brothers, killing our own children, turning the yokes which fasten our men in place into nooses.
Wow. You've been listening to Linda LeMaster here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Does this memorial have a name?
Yeah. I titled it, I Bargained for Salvation and They Gave Me a Lethal Dose. That's a line from the Dylan song, Contemporary to John.
And of course, you're referring to John, the man whose body was found on Tuesday under the Soquel Bridge, perhaps the first fatality of 2000 of our year here.
I would figure.
Although I got a report from another man who said that there was another person who had been found dead, and I'm still trying to track that one down.
Yeah, there's probably unidentified people dead we haven't even found yet, the way things are going.
Again, there's no indication that he was killed specifically in any specific homicide, but one might consider that the conditions under which homeless people are forced to live by official indifference and official harassment, like the sleeping ban, is a form of pressure that results in, it quickens the death of many people.
I'm certain it does. And I think that anybody who has to resort to under a bridge on a rainy day because they're pacifists, you know, that's so sick. We're all so sick.
Well, of course, playing devil's advocate, our authorities might tell you, we have wonderful programs here in Santa Cruz. After all, he could have signed up for the armory and maybe gotten in.
No, it's blaming the victim again. But you're not a very good devil's advocate this morning.
Why does he insist on being under a bridge? That's his lifestyle choice.
Yeah, but how come this country isn't big enough for different lifestyles? I mean, this is a man who I know firsthand never hurt anybody. It looked out for everybody. And he had a bigger concept for living than just human homo sapien white guys, too.
Well, he wasn't arrested for being under the bridge. If he'd been arrested, maybe he'd be in jail and he'd gotten medical treatment and he wouldn't be dead.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of unnecessary ifs that somehow he lived through before it all killed him. And who? How many others?
Yeah, the reality, of course, is that, even though I'm playing devil's advocate here, that people don't have these kinds of real choices, and that the armory has been full for the last 2 weeks, with the exception of the last 2 days of good weather. So there are no places for people to go, like John, if he wanted to.
And why should John have to go trekking around giving his whole life to a building that they don't even get to stay in? Why should any man have to go through that? You know, the armory should be there for people who need that kind of refuge, who need to be taken care of. But people should not be shunted around just because, oh, this is our token gesture to the falling off of humanity, so you should have been there. No way. Mm-hmm. You know, people should be allowed to take care of themselves, and I think people who do it with all this adversity should be honored and remembered.
So what is the Homeless Issues Task Force going to do about all this?
I think your guess is as good as mine, Robert. We could only speculate.
Yep, you could
As chair, what I'm trying to do is compose a letter to Michael Schmidt and encourage him. And I don't have the electronic capacity, but I'm hoping as a task force we do, to copy that letter to every nonprofit in the city. We could create a chain of three-day sanctuaries very easily.
Well, you're talking about the law that allows you to let someone be in a vehicle in your driveway for 3 nights out of a month?
No, I'm not. I'm talking about another part of the camping ban that says that if you're a respectable and bona fide entity that brings no harm or liability upon the city itself, that you can have events and get camping permits, but not for more than two consecutive nights.
Interesting. Yeah, that is a section that's never been used by people.
Except for when the Japanese came to visit us, the city itself used it through Parks and Rec.
Very rarely used. I know most people who come through with these, whether it's the AIDS walk or the Russian peace walk, they just don't even require a permit. They just let them proceed and ignore them. So
yeah.
It's the reason that permit section is there is because Linda Edwards, activist from the 80s and 90s against the sleeping ban, won a court case with the help of then-attorney Ray Glock Gruneich that threatened to throw out the whole ban because in the earlier section of the law, there was no permit process that was even vaguely viable, and the fact that there was no permit process endangered the constitutionality of the law. So they put in this Parks and Rec provision for a permit, which nobody ever uses because normally they require huge amounts of liability insurance.
Yeah, but if you're already a nonprofit serving private entity, I don't see why you should have to pay more than like $12 for the extra liability insurance per night.
I think you got your work cut out for you getting nonprofits to open up their...
Well, I don't have to get them to do it. They could see a road map, you know. They either stand up for stopping these kinds of deaths and unnecessary beatings,
mm-hmm.
you know. This is totally stupid that the people with the least power in our whole city, like working mothers and college students, have to be fasting. Nobody else will even stand up in name for this situation.
Well, I know that your Homeless Issues Task Force did vote last time, and I think it was unanimous, to ask Chief Belcher to supplement the statistics he's put out with, he put out the fact that that's shocking stats that homeless people have a, what, 100 to 400%, I'm not quite sure, but...
They're four to six times more likely, I think, I got this right.
No, it's more than that. It's you get a 0.1% chance of getting beaten if you're in a house. You get a 4 to 10% chance per year of getting beaten.
Oh, I see.
So that's like 40 to 60 times, I believe.
More likely.
So that's counting only reported assaults. It's probably hundreds of times more likely in a certain sense because there are so many assaults that aren't reported taken into account.
I know that.
But missing from Chief Belcher's statistics were the number of arrests. Have the police done anything to arrest people or convictions?
Well, as a former car sleeper myself, as a mother, they use the law more to harass people than to try to bring anything to light, it seems. At least the police in the field do.
Right, well, I think we need the stats to show that, and I'm glad your Homeless Issues Task Force has stood up to request those stats. That's the one positive thing that I saw that did come out of Monday's, I guess you have a twice-monthly meeting, plus, of course, you agreed to support Chamber of Commerce CEO Schmidt, should he get the support of his his executive subcommittee, which he got a sort of a modified support. He didn't really come forward with a proposal, and so you guys backed off. And again, that to me is always a sad thing.
Well, we didn't have a proposal. I think it's more important that we didn't have a proposal. Why should the Chamber of Commerce have a proposal? I think, you know, our job is very much as a conduit in many ways between the population and the city council, and some even say as a diversion table. But the very least we could do is support people who have a good idea, whether they have a plan or not. And we have the tools with which we should be helping develop a plan.
Yeah, well, you also have had proposals. You presented them, and the city council has ignored you and asked for details of other things. So I think, and of course, the problem
Well, they haven't ignored us. You know, like they created a bathroom task force, too, you know? For example, that's what the city's doing. It's at some sort of kindergarten level. But what we need to do right now, besides my concern for Steve Argue's situation, is open those places for the weekend through Parks and Rec and worry about the plans and the budgets and the details and the crappers and the who's going to be the Argonauts or the gatekeepers later, day at a time.
Oh, I agree, but I don't see your homeless issues task force putting any pressure forward to do that. That's the problem.
That's only because we're a legal entity. We're not a real group of people who have hands and feet in the community.
You're both. Come on.
Well, I'm both. And there are people who want to be that, you know, the Wilf women who have stuck up for this, for the humans in this situation. The Quakers claim they do works. You know, I don't see what the problem is in just going down and liberating one floor of that parking lot. Parking lot 10, is it called?
Get your homeless issues task force to do it. You know?
Well, when we meet, we'll do it. By then, it should be our turn. But what are we going to do tonight?
It was your turn months ago. You proposed.
Okay,
it.
I don't want to disagree with you about
it.
Well,
I think it's
tonight, today, this. Before February comes up, this is how we're starting our century. We're killing people and beating people and ganging up on people in their sleep.
Yeah, well, see, this is the kind of rhetoric the city council has to hear from you, but that you seem to back away from in public confrontations.
No, I
That's
don't. This is
concern.
A public confrontation.
No, it's not.
It doesn't have to be a confrontation,
you're
but
not
it's certainly a public.
You're not talking to the mayor publicly. The mayor probably isn't listening to this show. When you have an opportunity to go before a city council and the television cameras are on you, that's the key moment, Linda. And that
no,
is the reason I criticize
that.
You.
I do that, and that I don't do it in my function as the part of the task force doesn't mean I'm not doing it, and you should be looking around.
That point is that as the head of the Homeless Issues Task Force, it's the only opportunity you really have to do it, where there's focus on you.
I don't agree.
It's the only time you have the television cameras on you in that way.
See, I have a very spiritual sense of politics, and I think that there's things that happen in the moment that can't be happening by some posturing.
Well, let's agree to disagree.
Okay, thank you.
Is there more you want to say?
No, you said you had a question. Was that it?
I think that's it. I think that's
what
it.
About the fasters?
The fasters are actually here. I guess you may have just tuned in. We have Robin Lieberman with us, who's...
But you asked me. You said they wanted to pick my brain as if I had a brain
left. Oh, good point. Yeah, I don't know if Robin does specifically. I certainly do. Robin, do you have any questions for Linda LeMaster, who was on a fast in 1986, which succeeded in opening up the River Street mini shelter, as I call it? You might want to ask her some questions about that.
Yes, Linda. What did that fast, do you believe it accomplished a lot for you?
Yeah, for me personally, it was one of those life-changing experiences. I didn't anticipate that. I started the fast out of frustration because I felt so impotent and powerless, and I didn't have things or money. I only had my body, and that's the only way I could think of not giving up, you know, not letting this larcenous system walk all over me and the people I knew who were still homeless.
Yes, what exactly politically did you accomplish?
Well, I have to say the fasts were in the, let's say, historical context of a lot of other things happening too, including on-the-street fundraising campaigns. Robert helped organize that, which I've never seen anything like it anywhere across the whole continent. Both homeless people and poor people and children and the heads of nonprofits and ladies in the richer churches all took turns on this organized table out in front of the pre-earthquake bookshop Santa Cruz to save money and give information toward this River Street shelter. And the fasting was just another different facet. You know, people were pulling together in ways that hadn't been seen before. Those street tablers, together with things that were mailed, checks and cash alike, took in almost $200,000. Have you ever seen
wow.
that happen?
No. So there was a major contribution by the community then.
Yeah, people from all different parts were pulling together once it started rolling.
Wow, I'd love to see that again.
And Jane had started her fast actually 3 days before the public, and it was announced at a press thing over by the Peter Carota's soup kitchen. I forget the name of it now.
Is Jane Immler?
Yeah. And myself and a couple other people, a college student and a wonderful artist who was this tall homeless guy, and one other person entered the fast on that day that she announced it.
And when did you say this was again?
What did you say, when?
Yeah.
I don't know the year, Robert. What year?
1986.
86. Maybe we can try to do something like that again.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
It would be good. I think the important thing is to have witnesses around all the time when you're going through changes.
This was also a public fast where a number of people were not just doing a week or two or a rolling fast every other day. This was like, you know, a serious...
Five of us were fasted from solid foods all together. Mm-hmm. I lasted 28 days before we sort of called the thing a success. And so that would have put Jane at 31, I guess.
I'm not trying to put down, by the way, the folks who are working now, but I'm just trying to distinguish between these two fasts.
But there were other fasts, and, you know, people have different cultural traditions I hadn't been exposed to before that I've only learned about since. Like Peter Carota, being a Catholic, he fasted every Friday for this, and he made that public. They had a great big chart down at City Hall where they came in with chalk every morning and put the new number of days beside each of our names of each person fasting that we had fasted.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it was incredible. I must have a picture of that. I have a photo I should show you of five of the fasters. There was one person who didn't want their name in it, but she did get together with us for sort of the support group meeting we had one time at City Hall steps. It wasn't really a public meeting, but it was for each other's moral support.
Was this fasting done publicly, or was it done private in people's homes?
We each made our own decision. We got flack from more politically savvy people later that we weren't having a weigh-in and being monitored, but my friends went to the hot tubs with me and monitored me in their own feminine way, I think. You know, and I don't know what each of the other people did.
So it was done publicly or privately or both? Or?
It was a lot public. We made this agreement to spend like a whole day down near where the sign I was just telling you about is, where they're repairing the roof on the old City Hall wing now.
Mm-hmm.
We were as public as we could be, but most of us were not, you know, well-heeled in any sense. And also we wanted it to support the other things that were going on and starting to move finally.
What was the reaction of the homeless community to that at this time?
Oh, different things. I had a lot of friends who criticized me for being public about it because I came from a Christian tradition. I'd lived for a year and a half before that in the only church in the whole county that had started a shelter before there were any rules for or against having them. And so some, especially the men, you know, from the Bible tradition were saying, you shouldn't be telling anybody. That's like the scribes and Pharisees. And I'm like... You know, it's a different thing because even though I agree with that tradition, most of my fasting is a private thing, but this is being done for the purpose of solidarity, to be with people, to let this be known about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just didn't feel whatever guilt they thought I should be feeling.
Yes, there are definitely two different kinds of fasting as well.
And then there was this whole thing, you know, as I look back, this is sort of the part that should be written into a mystery book or something, that... a woman who used to work for the city manager's office, Laura Brown. I think Don Lane might have been the mayor at the time, or shortly after, if not then.
This wasn't during the fast.
I'm saying...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
If not concurrent, then soon after Don became mayor. Mm-hmm. But Laura Brown, at the time of this second fast, mm-hmm. was saying that we were trying to guilt trip the city into doing stuff, and I'd spent a lot of hours with the other fasters, and nobody was even thinking that way. None of us, you know. It didn't occur to me the city had a conscience, you know, by that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, what were you doing then? You were appealing to the conscience of the community, or?
No, for me it was just a personal, desperate act, and an attempt to connect with my sisters and brothers who were worried about what was happening to people on the streets. You know, there was no shelter in the city. You had to go to Watsonville even for emergency shelter. I mean, no official shelter. And then we go to that extreme, from that extreme where it isn't okay anywhere, it's totally illegal everywhere, you know, they just the couple years before that, they declared even the halls of government off limits after hours, even though that's where the civil defense shelters are. And we've gone from that to, well, if a nonprofit has it and it's overregulated and has a lot of administration and all that, then maybe we'll have a shelter. And I just don't believe that. I think we need it on every level.
I know this happened the year after Jane Immler's fast, her first fast. She was with you on the second fast, but her first fast to establish the Cedar Street Cold and Rainy Night Shelter, and again, the unsuccessful attempt to eliminate the camping ban, but her fast did set up the cold, the Cedar Street Shelter, and I guess that was only for 1 year, right? Then they decided they weren't going to open it the next year?
Well, then they had the Peter Pan the next year. They had a little more better thing, you know. By putting enough people with different backgrounds together, people start being creative, you know. They have to want to, though, to get it rolling. So her fest was part of it, but I also think Paul Lee, and as much as I hate to admit it, Fred Gray, going into gear, helped create this thing. Overnight bunches of people in it. He says, well, too bad. What are you going to do about it?
Paige Smith defied the council's orders.
Yeah. Yeah, he refused to get a permit that had, it was like your, what do you call it, like permit to feed people up in San Francisco when you ended up in jail for bagels.
Mm-hmm.
It was that kind of double-bind situation. And Paige Smith said, well, this is ridiculous. And he just unlocked it, you know.
The Cedar Street Cold and Rainy Night Shelter.
Yeah. And then Fred Gray, I thought, was a magician in getting everybody who wanted to make food for the homeless people had a place to bring it to, so people could come there around dinner time, almost like a true tribal or clan civilization for a little while. It eventually got overcrowded. They'd have two or three turkeys a night, and they were all gone. You know.
It was in the 80s when there seemed to be a groundswell of both activism and public sympathy for people in homeless situation. Now we're in the cold glare of the 21st century, and you have people like Roxana Kistapache and here Robin Lieberman fasting, or Robin about to fast, Roxanne already almost 3 weeks into her fast.
Yeah.
What advice would you have for them to get this issue before the public?
To get it before the public? Well, just be out and visible as much as you can, you know. Put yourself where, like, people have to walk past you to their lunches out of the county building or out by the library or city hall or something. I think that's an important part, and that doesn't have to be full-time to be very effective. We didn't really organize the signs and stuff that happened around us, but I thought that was very effective, you know?
What was very effective?
The signs. Well, somebody put up this very neatly, boldly lettered thing about how many days each person had been fasting, and then other political signs that seemed to go with it would come and go, you know.
Like?
Probably go by picked up by the cops. That's the tradition in this town. But people, you know, like long live people, things like that, inclusive stuff. There were rainbow people around at the time. What is the name, Robert? You might remember it, of the tall man. He was an artist who'd won that contest at Hobie's, and he was such a beautiful, exquisite penman.
Hmm. Doesn't,
do you remember who I mean?
Doesn't quite come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Linda LeMaster, and with us in the studio is Robin Lieberman. This is Bathrop's Piers Broadsides on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. We're talking about the use of fasting to bring the city to deal with issues that it otherwise refuses to deal with. I should say the city politicians, since I think many private individuals in the city, like Michael Schmidt of the Chamber of Commerce, already are determined that something has to be done about setting up safe sleeping spaces. I know his Chamber of Commerce is not too big on ending the camping ban or even the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance.
They don't even want to talk about it.
But they are interested, apparently, in safe zones, or at least they haven't given Schmidt the thumbs down on that issue, and he certainly got the thumbs up from Harvey West Neighborhood Association. Of course, it wasn't going to be in their neighborhood, and maybe the fact that it's in Peter Eberle Downtown Association's neighborhood with the parking lots and the two levels of parking lot number 10. Is
Harvey
why
West neighbors are out supporting it?
Is why he hasn't really gone into it. Huh. Harvey West neighbors gave Schmidt a standing applause, or maybe it was a sitting applause, but according to Homeless Services Center Director Ken Cole, who was in the audience of their meeting last week, or the week before, that, yeah, they did definitely applauded him when he proposed these three different safe zones that I've mentioned before.
I hope we get at least two or three proposals for supporting it.
Well, I'm
by the task force meeting.
Let me let you and Robin have the last word on this, but then we got to roll.
Okay.
Robin, anything you want to say? You don't have to say anything. I'm just giving you a chance, and I hope you two can hook up after the show, because you know, I think you can provide some expertise.
I'd like to be supportive, as lame as I am. My memory still works, and I guess the thing I want to say is we didn't think of this except for the initial publicity, but having support people all the way through, I think it's as good an idea when you know your body metabolism's going through changes and you want to stay in touch with your town folk as it is when you're risking going to arrest status or something.
Definitely.
You know, I think that would be my hindsight contribution.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you, Linda.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you. So I'll hang up.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That sounds like dead air to me. Thought that was an operational tape, but we're going to go now. Of course, if you call in, we'll give you an opportunity to do a little discussion on this issue, but I think we're going to turn now to the next segment of the show, which I think should really be about San Jose, because in San Jose there is a different kind of protest going on, not a fasting approach, but a direct civil disobedient approach. But we do have a call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
This is David Silva again.
Hi, David.
Yeah, on the various fasts that are going on, people come to the press conference Wednesday. There'll be a lot more clarification. We have always said from the beginning that we weren't going to reveal all the participants until February 1st in terms of participating in the full fast. We're trying to go for 18 people by March 1st to be on full fast. But, you know, I've been getting more and more calls, just people calling in, and people are doing fast in different ways. There's one person that's fasting every Saturday. I know Dan Halpkins, when he does his fasting, he's going to do it in front of City Hall. There's quite a variety of ways to be fasting that supports this rolling fast. And if people come to the press conference Wednesday, we'll have that information for them. And if you like, I could read you the 46 names of people participating right now.
Go ahead if you'd like, David.
Sure. Roxana Kistapache, Bernard Klitzner, Fred Geiger, Carl Wilson, Lucy Kimnitzer, Marilyn Weaver, Michael Smith, Emily Riley, Kevin Clark, Robert Norris.
Oh, no.
Yes, you're on.
Not him, man.
Yes, him. Ben Short, Dan Hopkins, Lisa Study, Broyton Tompkins, Scott Graham, David Carnegie, Rob Muller, Stuart Abel, Holly Nelson, Ken Cole, Nancy Anacito, Laura Tucker, Ray Souza, Sandy Brown, Nicholas Whitehead, James Sanders, Mel Nunez, the Reverend John Phillips, Robin Lieberman, Lisa Johnson, Velma Rabus, Pat Clark, Father Roland Bunda, Dan Cooper, Ruth Hunter, Valerie Corral, Mimi Corral, June M. Whited, James, boy, some people's signatures. Have his phone number. James Saunter, Anita Henry, Neil Martin-Zevy, Linda Lemaster, Eli Saltzman, Christopher Tom, Susan Martinez, and Celia Scott will be calling me back sometime shortly to tell me which day is going to be convenient for her, but I don't have her down yet. So that's the people who are participating in one way or another. And then on when we have our press conference, we'll delineate how people are participating. Starting That'll be February 1st, right? Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that'll be, you know, my first day with no lunch.
Actually, February 1st is Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah. So that'll
February
be my
2nd.
Second day with no lunch. So, you know, it'll be already impacting me pretty hard come Wednesday. So it'll just be a noon press conference, and then I'll be out of there, and then I'm going to do most of this business from my house.
This will be noon on February 2nd, then.
Yeah, from starting February, I'm going to be doing most of this business from my house. Mm-hmm. We will have tables starting going up, Green Party tables and sleeping van tables that will be going up at Safeway on the west side and on Pacific Avenue. And we hope to get also up at the university. And these tables will have these petitions so that the FAST supports the petitions, the petitions support the FAST. But one thing we need to be sure to get clear, that the Sentinel did get quite clear, is that this FAST is to decriminalize sleeping. The safe zones is the solution, but if you create just a parking structure here by one administrative decision, 2 years from now that administrative decision can be reversed, but a ballot voted on by the people has to be changed only by another ballot voted on by the people when it comes to an ordinance. So we're going to have this initiative, so we'll make sure that sleep will never be criminalized again in the future.
Sounds good, David.
Okay. So try to show up Wednesday noon in front of City Hall. We'll have a lot more clarification for everybody. I noticed that in your questions there would seem to be some concern what kind of fast exactly we're doing, and it's a real, you know, weave that we're doing here. And the idea is to put the pressure on, because it seems that every organization, every neighborhood association, every business organization, you know, wants the homeless to have some place to sleep, and you know, knows that there's something wrong. It just seems that the city council has a gun to their heads, and we need to help them out.
Thank you, David.
Okay.
Took its aim, and a man fell to the ground. He tried to stand again, but everybody held him down. A time of terror when the bullet pierced the air. I know that couldn't happen here. Oh, it must have been another country. Yes, it must have been another land. That couldn't happen in the USA. We'd never treat a man that way. And the migrant worker sweats underneath the blazing sun. He's fallen to his knees, but his work is never done. Takes someone to listen, but nobody seems to care. I know that couldn't happen here. Oh, it must have been another country. Yes, it must have been another land. That couldn't happen in the USA. We'd never treat a man that way. And a man is working steady, it's good money he receives. But he's thrown out of work for the wrong things he believes. He didn't have the thoughts most everybody shares. I know that couldn't happen here. So it must have been another country. Yes, it must have been another land. That couldn't happen in the USA. We'd never treat a man that way. And a man is sent to prison to wait until he dies. He fights to save his life. For years and years he tries. Even though he changed himself, he dies upon the chair. I know that couldn't happen here. Oh, it must have been another country. Yes, it must have been another land. That couldn't happen in the USA. We'd never treat a man that way. Oh, I know we'd never treat a man that way.
And that was Phil Oakes from our continuing set of selections from the unbroadcast Phil Oakes Songs. Great folk singer from the 60s and 70s here in these United States of America. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, the heart and soul of America, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides, and we're about halfway through the show. With us is Robin Lieberman and a ringing phone line.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Uncle Robert. Just one more commercial.
Uh-oh.
Tonight at 7 p.m., the University Catholic Mass, which is at Henry Cowell Health Center,
mm-hmm.
I'll be speaking on the FAST, and also I'll have copies of the petition. People can't get their collect signatures until Wednesday, but I can start handing out the petition, so I'll be handing out copies of the petition. So if there's university students listening, they want copies of the petition, come to Mass or after Mass.
Now, Now, where is this going to be?
It's going to be at the Henry Cal Health Center.
And also, you might want to know, and you probably already do, that PAM Africa is going to be asked to endorse both the FAST and the new sleeping ban repeal initiative, which you're pressing.
Yeah, and I guess Pam is wonderful. I love her.
You can call her, of course. Any listeners can call her on free radio at 427-3772 between 3 and 6 this afternoon.
Oh, great.
Or I guess up at Kresge Town Hall from, 8 to 10?
That's tonight?
Starts at 8, yeah.
So I can go right there after Mass?
Yes, you can, if you can get past the people
mob.
Spare changing on the... Right. Yes, definitely.
Okay, well, I'll show up there with petitions, too.
Thanks, David.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And now, let's see what they're doing in San Jose. You're going to hear some selections from a tape that was made on Wednesday, where 15 people confronted the mayor's bureaucracy, demanding that he take some action on the San Jose homeless crisis. And 15 of us were arrested, now face misdemeanor trespass charges, and we'll be back again a week from, on February 8th, on that Tuesday city council meeting, to bring the issue to city council again, urging people to be ready to commit civil disobedience if there's no action taken. I think Santa Cruz could take a page from this book.
Here we are in San Jose at about 4 o'clock or 4:05, and outside the city hall, looks like about 20 or 30 homeless people gathered, numerous media, numerous cameras, Channel 48, for example, is being interviewed. We'll listen to Sandy Perry being interviewed by Channel 48 here.
We know that Dr. Martin Luther King
four different cameras.
Poverty in America is simply unacceptable because we have the resources to get rid of it.
Scott
the question is,
speaking.
Do we have the will?
Amen.
You're here.
We've got a mayor here today who's claiming to be a leader of our city, but we cannot be leaders if we're not moral leaders.
Amen.
We cannot ignore the least of our people in this city. We've tried to talk with this mayor time and again and invite him down to the church to meet with the little people, and he simply ignores their plight. He ignores the cry of the poor, so we got to bring the poor to him. We have to continue to come back and be seen and be heard, because if we're not seen and we're not heard, more people will die on the streets. Last year in this wealthy city, 27 people died on the streets.
Shameful.
If one person dies on the streets, it is shameful. So we're calling on all people of good conscience to help us build this campaign. This campaign is a campaign not just for the poor, but for everybody who has a conscience,
amen,
who's heard the cry of the poor, who has a heart for the poor. So 10 of us today are willing to risk arrest. For the rest of you here, we need prayer. We need for you to be peaceful and to hang out here with us and see what happens. But we're going to get the attention of this mayor one way or the other. God bless you. Here's Pastor Sweeney. I want to know you have to do something. Together, and we're going to stay there until they ask us to leave. When they ask us to leave, those who are going to remain and get arrested will do so. The rest of you can come downstairs at that time. We want everybody to stay in solidarity. We want to get a response from the mayor today. We get upstairs, we'll pray to God that he opens the Red Sea for us. Amen.
You can all be proud.
We have 23 known deaths.
Yes.
How many unknown deaths?
And going inside. And poor Tracy Jacques.
You know what we're here.
Yes,
you
and have
me.
A seat.
Oh, okay.
David,
we're
going to
be. Yeah, we'll be peaceful.
You okay, know. Very good. Thank
we're
you.
This looks like a great place for a shelter. I like this area. Mayor Gonzalez.
Mayor Gonzalez represents most of the business interests in San Jose. He has never met openly with the homeless alliance organization. Refuses to. Has never cared to do anything about the plight of the homeless here in San Jose, but whenever there's a business interest or a ribbon-cutting ceremony, you will immediately see Mr. Face Mayor there. However, he's never really done anything for the Community Homeless Alliance or any of the other homeless organizations.
Now he's been mayor for about a year now?
Been mayor for about a year now.
Mm-hmm. Of course, he's carrying on that proud tradition of Mayor Hammer, right?
Yes, he does. In fact, Mayor Hammer actually threw her weight behind him during the elections because all the business interests that were behind her jumped behind him. So now he's carrying out the legacy that she began. And that is the business interests, solely the business interests and the business representatives in this town that he actually does all the work for.
Any particular difference between this year and last year? Have there been further abuses? Or?
Oh, of course, there's been further abuses. In fact, the survey that took place on racial profiling shows that the police have definitely been active, and one of the people that they always attack are the homeless people.
I know you've had the police have scored seven hits, fatal hits on people this last year.
Yes, they certainly have. And it's sad because people of color has made up the list of five. So racial profiling plays a big practice in their so-called police, community policing, which in turn, with us, really means police terror.
Thank you, Carl.
You're welcome.
It's the mayor's aide. Where's the mayor?
You're aware that Ron is very aware, the mayor is very aware of the issues of homelessness. He has a long history and track record in dealing with the issues of homelessness in this county, not only as mayor, but also as a member of the county board of supervisors. And in fact, I think San Jose could hold its own anywhere in the nation for the kind of attention and resources that we put into addressing the important issues of meeting these homeless families.
Well, he hasn't met with us, and he hasn't really listened to the fact that there are people that die on the streets each night. No shelter beds have been made available. We have no recourse but to stay here until he hears us, until he meets with us. Susan Hammer, first week of office, she met with us when I was a student activist, and the mayor has gotten letters from me from First Christian Church. He's been invited down to the church. We've invited him to the shelter where our people are staying, and he hasn't responded. And we have no alternative but to keep coming back. Today's the beginning of the crusade. We have everybody in this room willing to go to jail at some time during the course of this campaign. And this is the only recourse we have. The only thing we can do is appeal to his conscience, and we've done that. So now we have to up the ante and engage in civil disobedience if necessary. Because we're not going to leave today without talking to him and getting some response from him. We've been here too many times, and he hasn't answered our request. And we're doing this in good conscience. We're doing this in the spirit of love. But it's not acceptable that he ignores this problem, that he doesn't give acknowledgement to the fact that there are people that die on the streets of Silicon Valley. He doesn't mention it in his speeches. He doesn't really talk about truly affordable housing. He's not talking about that, and you and I both know it. He's talking about making the rich richer and the poor get imprisoned around here. Come out. I mean, we're going to stay until he comes out.
The mayor's not even in the building.
Can you please call him?
That's what they said about Susan Hammer.
Can you please, yeah. Can you please call him? You knew we were coming back. We'd be dragged out of here. It's going to look bad. We've got Pastor Sweeney. We've got church people. You guys be quiet. Be respectful, please. Be respectful. Don't do that. We're here in the good faith of love and Jesus. We're coming to appeal to his conscience.
He's definitely supportive of housing. He's supportive of many organizations and people, including you, Scott, who are supportive of homeless families and making sure that we as a community can address those needs. I think it's unfair for you to characterize the mayor as unfeeling. Certainly, he is very aware of homeless issues, has been long active in making sure that this city and the county in his previous roles were responsive to the needs of homeless families in Santa Clara County.
Homeless, mentally ill. Today, some of those are still out here on our streets. I have seen the homeless population grow from mentally ill people to little children. Something is very wrong here in Silicon Valley. There. This is the wealthiest valley in the nation, if not the entire world. And we should attack this problem and solve it so we could set an example for the rest of America to follow.
Of emergency. One person on the street, one child on the street should be a state of emergency.
A baby just died.
You don't even have any idea about the number of babies that have died because women have been on the streets homeless, gone into the hospital, and their children have died in the womb, been born dead because they're homeless. Set them up to be homeless, and then you take their children away from them because there's no place for them to live. You set them up to be homeless, and you don't give them adequate medical care. You set them up to be homeless, and you put them in jail because they don't know where they should stand in the middle of the night. And they get a citation to go to jail, to go and report into a place that says, oh, well, we mailed you a change of where you should be at the courthouse and what time, but you're homeless. Now you have a warrant for your arrest. This is the kind of thing that's going on around here, and it's not acceptable.
And all that while the mayor's cutting ribbons at parades, people are dying on the streets. This is the horrible reality that we all face here. And they sent a mouthpiece out here to speak to us instead of the mayor coming out here. It's the same thing that happens with police brutality in this town. This mayor has ignored it.
He didn't come out. Remember the 1,000 students that came? The 1,000 Jewish students, we got to address them, but the mayor wasn't even on the platform. They came to raise homeless awareness in Santa Clara Valley. He wasn't even on the platform with me. He wasn't even there. 1,000 kids from across North America, aspiring Yalies and Harvard, and he sent a certificate. Does he really care about the poor, David? Does he really care? And if he really cares, he would come down to the church. He would have addressed us 7 months ago. He hasn't done it. He hasn't read. He hasn't written a letter to clergymen, and he's claiming to be someone who cares. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
He's a busy mayor.
The average age of a homeless person in Silicon Valley is 9 years old.
Say it, sister.
You can call him, but we're going to stay here. We just can't. And we're going to come back. Tell him we'll be back. Greater numbers. We'll keep coming back until he hears us, until he meets with us at least. And we're not going to stop.
Mayor has time to run a carnival, city carnival, and he shows that he loves the children. Does he love the homeless children? No. Does he? He has time for that, but you don't have time to go around the corner where we at a Little Orchard, or even in the First Christian on Fifth Street. He was around the corner. All he has to do is go around the corner and see what the homeless is like, what it's all about.
Out of sight. We'll just see him out of sight.
That's right.
Well, you said that he's creating affordable housing. If you really study that issue, within the last 10 years, they've destroyed more affordable housing every year than they have produced.
That's right.
It's just the absolute truth. You can see it. It's in black and white.
Yes, it is.
You're out of look at that.
And they're taking $9 million to move the Montgomery Hotel, which we've been asking for years, for the homeless. It used to be an SRO. But we can afford $9 million to move the building.
A few feet.
A few feet while people are dying on the street.
Yeah.
In the cold.
It's the man you're working for.
Well, I hear what you're saying.
We don't want to. Nothing personal. Just convey the message. If you got to do what you got to do.
If you can do it quickly, do it now. Just
sir, may I ask? May I ask, would you care to comment on any plans on the board for expanding the Habitat for Humanity program,
yes,
and also what may be on the board for providing more low-cost housing for senior citizens? Could you kind of bring us up to date on that, please?
I don't have enough information at my fingertips to give you information on that.
Thank you.
That's who they send out, someone with no information. Thank you very much.
Could find out who would have that information that we could call or contact them for that information?
Well, hang on here one moment. Vivian Hurt, do you know anything about some of these questions here?
Well, one of the questions they asked about senior housing, the council just approved a new site for senior housing. So, 7-2244.
And we should ask for?
Vivian
Felix Hyde.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Vivian is with the San Jose Housing Department, and the Housing Department is the city agency that is making the investments and working with homeless families to address these issues.
As well as working with
yeah.
She needs more help.
Just transferring more people to Vivian's offices.
Really.
Raise that 20% to maybe 40% redevelopment money for housing.
That's right.
We are in a crisis here, and if we can solve it, we can... make an example for the rest of America to follow. We have 760,000 homeless people in America. 40% of them are veterans. 25% have mental disorders. In October, we had 100,499 homeless families in America. We have got to solve these problems in America, but we start right here in San Jose to impress the rest of the
U.S. That's right.
That's right. Speak it, Roy. Speak it, brother.
There's many of us that are disabled.
Right.
I have a tumor on my brain. I have a fourth of my kidney left. I have congestional heart failure. I was in the hospital 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I live at EHC, which treats us like prisoners. They don't even want to give us a bed because they say, this is not a hospital. I had the nurse there that told me to go out and die under a tree, that my life was not worth anything anymore, that I would not be a productive citizen anymore. I'm a very productive citizen. I believe in human rights. I believe in civil rights. I believe that everybody should be treated equally. I believe God has sent me here to say that not only I, but many, many homeless people, disabled or not, and all of our children need housing. We need to get off the street. The streets is killing us. And you wait until tomorrow, I could be dead, or Lalo or somebody could be dead. We can't wait another day. Our fathers came down, and he died on the cross for our sins. He died for us. He was homeless. He went into the valley where the prostitutes and things were. We can't even get our mayor to come and talk to us. He said he doesn't care about us. All he cares about is putting his hand in people's pockets that have the money. We don't have any money. We're not productive. Well, who does the chores around here?
Right.
Who gets paid $5 an hour? Who gets paid $6 an hour? In Santa Clara County, you have, for a family of four, you have to be making $21 an hour to make it.
Do you know what the going rate for a homeless person to rent somebody's back porch to sleep on is now in San Jose? He's got the answer. $350 for a back porch.
Ladies sleeping on a back porch.
How come Orlando, king of Disney, has a 24-hour shelter, and San Jose, one of the wealthiest areas in the world, does not have a 24-hour shelter, and no one ever, including all the people that provide for the homeless and stuff, EHC, San Jose Housing, doesn't come up with a 24-hour shelter? Do you know there's people that work a graveyard shift, there's people that work swing shift? How come Orlando, the king of Disney, can have a 24-hour shelter, but San Jose does not have anything resembling a 24-hour shelter?
We don't have a house. We have a housing crisis. It's a crisis. And he's got to stop talking about moderate income, low income. What does that mean? We need housing that is truly affordable. Affordable for working people, minimum wage earners. And it doesn't exist here. That kind of housing does not exist in Silicon Valley. And it benefits not just the homeless, but all those sectors of working people. All the people working in the service sector of these economies can't afford to live here. And he knows that. But he's going to continue to subsidize redevelopment to make the rich richer and fatter and get the poor, you know what I'm saying, prison and shelters. And it's not acceptable. And that trend has to change. That's the focus of this crusade, is that the trend in San Jose between the Gulf, between the rich and the poor growing, is going to shrink. It's morally unacceptable. If he's a moral man, they're speaking at Martin Luther King's birthday, King would roll over in his grave. If he saw anybody homeless in Silicon Valley, anyone homeless here, it's unacceptable. And he knows that he's subsidizing people at the top, and he knows it. Give more money to the big business and let the poor people die, right? It's not okay, David. Anybody with conscience will tell you, that's not okay. And that's what's happening here in Sodom and Gomorrah, Silicon Valley, right?
Babylon.
That's what's happening in Babylon. So tell him that we're here, good conscience, Christian people, appealing to his conscience to see if he's willing to do something. But no one's going to die in the streets in the upcoming year. Not in Silicon Valley.
It's not a good political image.
It is not.
David?
I need to know we're serious as all get up, because it's a serious problem. So,
listen, Scott.
So I'm just hearing, I don't want to upset you. It's not a personal thing, but he's just not listening.
He's got to come up with something, too, that's going to work for an immediate housing of people who are out on the street tonight. And he's got to think in terms of yesterday, because tomorrow's not going to get it. Not 5 years down the road, not 3 years down the road, not 8 years down the road. We got 50% put away over 5 years to do nothing with. That's not going to work. Okay? It's just not going to work.
Serious issues?
Yes.
I don't think you can find a city in this state, I don't think you can find a city in this nation who has done as much for housing as San
Jose. Yes, we can. We can find, and we can find them. Okay.
Look, we had people coming to the church every night that were turned away. 17 families get turned away from local shelters. Las Plumas will tell you that. EHC will tell you 40 people a day get turned away. That's not okay.
That's
not okay. That's not okay. No matter what the statistics show, people are being turned away every night, and you know it. The mayor knows it. Let's just do something. What's so bad about really doing something? Let's go a little bit out of the ordinary and do something for a change. Let's not be Willie Brown and be forced to do it like he was forced to put those people on Treasure Island because it was such a big issue. Do something proactive. Don't make us keep coming back up here and doing this.
I just took a mother this morning with two kids to the family shelter, and they don't have any room for her. She's on the street. Two little kids, and they don't have room for her. She's homeless. And you're going to tell me that there is? You're lying. You're lying every single day like you do. That's all you guys do is lie. If it's not money for those buildings downtown, you guys don't do nothing. You don't care. Unless it's a big old building.
The city didn't want you to sleep in the church. They said they like you better in the street.
The city closed the church. They didn't like the homeless sleeping in the church. It threw it outside of the street one more time. So I take one house temporary for 2 years. Yeah, this and one more year, I don't know. In the future, I don't know. what happens. I don't have a permanent house for me or for my kids. So
she told me about her 8-year-old son who is in the shelter and how she has to get him up early every morning and get him out of there. And it's cold and he's always cold. And how she just grieves that she doesn't have a proper home for her son to be growing up in, that he doesn't even know really what a home is anymore. He doesn't have it, and it's been so long. And I told her about Tama Pearlman, and who was a beautiful, beautiful girl. She was like about 19 years old, and she got pregnant, and she was pregnant while she was homeless, living on the streets. And she gave birth to a beautiful daughter, and finally, after many, many months and all this time, she was able to get some housing. When the baby was 1 year old, a blood vessel burst in her brain, and she died. And she was only 20 years old. And now that baby, that 1-year-old baby, is growing up without a mother. And it's all because there is no shelter or no place for no homes for Tom and her baby to grow up. If they had a home, they would be alive. She would be alive today, and she'd be raising that little baby.
Here's well-intentioned people who respect their great concern here, and I wish to assure them that the concern about homeless issues and housing in general is something that is taken seriously here in San Francisco.
Is there any chance they're going to get what they want, the $5 million, to build more shelters and housing?
As you know, Layla, budget issues are never automatic things. There are always competing intentions for resources. And so the issue of any specific request is something that you're not going to see an automatic answer, because every city, every organization has to balance many components.
That means no.
Did you let the mayor know that these people were here? Did you contact him?
I talked to the mayor 5 minutes ago, and he is at a previously scheduled kind of appointment that he is not able to come back to.
He talked to the mayor 5 minutes ago. He has a scheduled appointment. He can't come to see us. So sorry.
What about the library?
Do you think there's more empty retail space in San Jose or more empty housing?
That's a judgment call that I think you have to ask the city council and the community to answer.
Are there any empty buildings in San Jose?
Just none for you.
There may be empty buildings. Those are private buildings with private owners. And as you well know, the real estate market is such that nothing stays empty very long in Silicon Valley.
Is there a crisis more pressing than homeless people on the streets in San Jose today?
That is a very serious crisis for people who are on the streets.
More pressing crisis?
I think there are many pressing crises. I'm not going to say on behalf of the mayor that one is
name
more than
one
the
one that is more pressing. One. That is more pressing.
We're talking about a city that needs to make sure that its city services are good for all people, the ability for the city to respond to the needs of the entire community.
Well, is the water supply poisoned and you have to run out and take care of it right now? Or is there some crisis that I'm not aware of other than women and children and human beings on the street in San Jose right now? Is there a more pressing crisis?
I respect your question. I respect your concern. I'm not going to answer that question directly.
The city didn't give a damn 10 years ago, and they still don't give a damn. Okay. And they just blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were expecting some changes, perhaps?
I guess I still have hope.
You wild dreamer, you.
I am. I still have.
They change when you make them change.
I know. And if this doesn't make them change, Robert, what's going to make them change?
Oh, 4 times as many people. More frequently.
Yeah, and maybe some really, really specific demand that they could do right on the spot. That's
oh, yeah.
All I can think of.
All right, followed by about 15 other demands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lawton.
How do you spell it?
L-A-W-T is in Tomo and is in Nancy.
I guess not.
Okay, and here come the cops.
Yes.
Anyone who wants to stay, stay. Anyone wants to go, go. And if you stay, you'll be charged with trespassing. Is that correct, sir? Yes. Anybody who wants to go can go now.
I'm staying.
Okay, how about the trolley?
I'm staying.
Okay.
understand, Peggy?
Yeah, I just let's just anybody's going to stay with me here, let's just gather in prayer.
Right here.
I got you now.
Pleasing in your sight, and that we just appeal to the conscience of this city and claim that this city will open its heart, open its mind, and open its pocketbook to take care of the least of its people. We're called to be a compassionate nation and compassionate people, and we know that you're watching us, Father, right now. In the name of Jesus, we claim that the city will hear us, and that we will continue to come back and fight the good fight as long as anyone is still on the street. As long as anyone dies on the street for the rich city, it's just not acceptable.
Steve Wong.
Thanks, Christy. I'm Robert. And you, of course?
Big John.
And you are?
Larry, no last name still.
Okay. And we have Larry Sweeney. And you are?
Paul Schuster.
And your name, sir?
Albert Sandoval.
Thank you, Albert. Robert Norris. And madam with the dark glasses, don't think I don't recognize you. Your name?
Ann Turner.
Okay.
Anybody who is in here right now, you're going to be arrested.
And your name is?
Charlie.
Okay. And your name is?
Peggy Elwell.
Thank you, Peggy. And you are?
Diana McClellan.
Thank you, Diana. And you are?
Amos Brokaw.
Thank you, Amos.
Lorraine Rust.
Thank you, Lorraine.
Krishna Session.
Krishna.
Judith Wright.
Thank you, Judith. And Krishna, how do you spell your last
name? S-E-S-H-A-N, Session.
Thank you. Do any of the news media wish to be arrested?
No, thank you.
Well, there you are. There you go. So we're waiting here outside the. I'm not sure what kind of office this is. It seems like an inner office.
Holding office. It's a holding pen.
A holding pen.
It's the holding pen for as far as we're concerned.
It's the mayor's lair, perhaps. The back room of the mayor. What is the name of this room back here?
You know what? I honestly don't know. It's just one of the conference office areas that they're using.
And your name is?
Ruben Gazar.
And Ruben, you are kind of in charge of this operation?
I'm a lieutenant with the street crime
scene. Right. Well, good luck.
Okay, they're going to ask you to shut that off.
Sure.
And that was Wednesday at the San Jose mayor's office as 15 of us, actually there were about 40 or 50 of us, 15 of us chose to be arrested rather than leave as we felt the mayor had for some reason not kept his appointment with the people. And he had to do that. Plus we thought that mayor's office looked like a fine homeless shelter if nothing else was being provided. And I think that's something that Santa Cruz can learn from. Santa Cruz has a mayor that's doing nothing on this issue, or very little. Santa Cruz is a mayor who's unwilling to speak up for safe zones, unwilling to cross Shadow Mayor Catherine Byers and the majority of the city council to demand that there be an end to the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance, the right of people to shelter themselves if they need to. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert, and people should remember, if they want to call Mayor Ron Gonzalez in San Jose, that number is area code 408-277-4237.
Mm-hmm. Did you get an email for the San Jose mayor?
I have not.
Actually, if you want, give a call, listeners, to 423-HUFF. We'll try to get you email for the San Jose mayor's office if you want to express your concern that San Jose Mayor Ron Gonzalez act lickety-split on dealing with the homeless crisis he has continued to ignore month after month.
Gee, sounds kind of familiar.
It does indeed, doesn't it? In fact, it should be pointed out, you I guess, Becky, took a video of all this, which is a different soundtrack. Well, some of it's the same, but it's you can actually see this. Those who are interested to find this tape, this audio tape interesting, can come tomorrow to the Homeless Services Center at 11 o'clock in the morning. That's at 115 Coral Street, and we'll be playing some of that video. Is that right, Becky?
That's right. We're having a special showing, first time ever Huff video showing, down at the Homeless Services Center in the old Hygiene Bay. And
that's at Highway 1 and River Street. Actually, 115 Coral is the exact address. If you've got any questions on how to get there, give a call to 423-HUFF, and I guess we can help you out. But that's 11 o'clock tomorrow morning?
That's right, 115 Coral, and yeah, we're at 423-HUFF. If you want to call us and give your name and number and want to help out with some of the things we're working on.
Stay on the phone for a minute, Becky, because I know that you have another story that I want you to deal with, but also want to point out that there will be a
follow-up demonstration, probably larger, and it will be in a more public area at the City Council on February 8th. That'll be Tuesday. There'll be a caravan leaving from the town clock at 4:30, perhaps 5, but be there at 4:30 if you can. And we're going to try to get folks to come over from Santa Cruz to support people in San Jose. Even if you can't be arrested, you can still be a witness, you can still bring a camera, you can still bring your body and your voice and your heart. Again, that's going to be February 8th, Tuesday.
And it's really wonderful
what
Reverend Scott Wagers is doing there. He's beginning what he's calling his Poor People's Campaign. And, title of the video we're going to be showing out of the Homeless Service Center is called Not Waiting Quietly Anymore.
Right. So that's something I think over here in Santa Cruz we could do with. I mean, if you aren't up to throwing pies at the mayor, if you feel that fasting, though it's certainly a laudable thing and exerts definite moral pressure, is something that you want to try a more direct tactic of civil disobedience, you can give a call to 423-HUFF. We're thinking of trying to do something similar in Santa Cruz, maybe get folks from San Jose to come on over and help us.
Right. I think that we can show a lot of solidarity with San Jose activists who are following in the footsteps of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and the sort of methods that he used at great effort and against great odds to make actual progress in the civil rights movement. And we can learn a lot from that. And Reverend Scott Wagers has repeatedly invoked the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and uses phrases from King not only should we homage this person, we should, you know, we have to follow it.
Right. Now all we have to do is get the numbers.